Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers, the 9th chapter. Numbers chapter 9, page 179 in your Scofield Bible. Beginning with verse 6, we'll read through verse 14. Numbers chapter 9, verses 6 through 14, page 179. We'll read these verses responsively. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still. And I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And together on the 14th verse, please. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger, and for him that was born in the land. I'm going to read one other verse. I'll not ask you to turn to it. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 2. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful crowd of people. But thank you especially for our privilege of meeting here for the hearing of thy word preached. What a difference that makes. We pray for your help and your blessing, your power in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, now here we are again, same preacher, same people all these many years. But thou hast a blessing for us tonight from thy blessed book. I know that because I know this book a little bit. And this portion of it is sweet and precious to my heart. Bless us as we think about it for these few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. Every year in the life of Israel, they were required for each household on the first month of their calendar, corresponding roughly with our month of April. They were required on the 10th day of that month for each household to choose a lamb. That lamb must be a male lamb. That male lamb must be without blemish. In order to prove to themselves that that lamb was without blemish, they were to choose that lamb on the 10th day of the first month, and they were to keep that lamb for careful scrutinization until the 14th day of that month, and on the 14th day they would offer that lamb as a sacrifice called the Passover lamb. Then for the days following, called the days of unleavened bread, they had a feast, and I will not go into that because I want to call your attention tonight on the thing about which the choir sang, this lamb. So every year from the time that they left the land of Egypt, when they were saved from the land of Egypt by the Passover lamb and the blood applied when the death angel came through during the night and took the life of all those firstborn in every household who did not have the blood of the lamb applied on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. First day of the month, 10th day of the month, choose a lamb. Until the 14th day of the month, keep that lamb up carefully to be sure there is no spot or blemish on that lamb, that male lamb. On the 14th day of that month, then offer that lamb as a sacrifice. But here, I find a contradiction. In Numbers chapter 9, we read a while ago, we'll not turn to it, but read a while ago, that they observed the Passover on the second month and the 14th day. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 2, we find the same thing. The Passover observed not on the first month at this particular time, but on the second month. There must be some kind of a mistake. Or could there be a contradiction in the Word of God? Never, never, never a contradiction in the Word of God. Let me explain it to you. It was Passover time. No story shows the great heart of God to me quite like the one about which I'm going to preach tonight. It was Passover time. First month, 10th day to the 14th day, then the 14th day offering the male lamb without blemish. Someone comes to Moses at that time. And they say to Moses, "Moses, we've got a problem." Moses says, "What is it?" They say, "We're defiled." Now, to be defiled meant that there are several things that defile somebody. These people were defiled because they had touched a dead body. When you were defiled for touching a dead body, there was a period of days where you had to have a purification ceremony, and they could not participate in anything like the Passover during those days of purification. They said, "We are defiled, and we will not be finished with our days of purification until after the Passover." Other people came to Moses and said, "Moses, we're going to be out. We won't be here." Or they came after they got back and they said, "Moses, we were gone from the country. Over 15 miles away was considered a far journey in those days because they had no means of conveyances such as we have. But they came and they said, "We're defiled. What can we do?" Moses comes to God. God gives Moses permission to do something that's so beautiful. Moses comes and says to the people who are defiled, these people that came to him and asked why they couldn't take the Passover, because their days of purification would not be finished until the Passover was passed. God gave Moses instruction, and Moses gave it to the people. One of the most beautiful things in all the Bible. God said, "Moses," and Moses said to the people, "There'll be another date set for another Passover. There'll be a second Passover, a mini Passover, if you please. And that Passover will be for those who were defiled at the first Passover. So to those of you that were defiled at the first Passover, or those of you that were on a far journey, an emergency journey, like the death of a loved one or something, and you were over 15 miles away from home, this second Passover will also be for you." Moses said, "For all of you, you take a lamb, a male lamb without blemish, and you choose that lamb on the 10th day of the second month." Notice, second month. Not first month. First month was the main Passover. But there was a mini Passover, a second Passover, a small Passover. That was for those who were defiled during the first Passover. Another date was chosen. I love it. I love it. I love it. God is simply saying, if you're defiled on the first Passover time, let me give you a second chance. Let me give you a second chance. I love you. I want you to observe the Passover. And so God was willing even to change the or add to the ordinance of the Passover and make a mini Passover a month later for those who were defiled. What does that mean? That means those of you that didn't get on board when you were 4 years old. Come on, the blood of Christ still saves. That means those of you that didn't make it on the first load, there's a second load. That means God is simply saying, if you weren't here for the first Passover because you were defiled, God is saying, I want defiled people to be cleansed. And if you didn't make the first Passover, you come and make the second Passover. God is saying, come, all of you tonight who are defiled. There's still room at the cross for you. God is saying, those of you that have been too busy to receive Christ, you've not taken time to make the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. God says, okay, the age of grace is still out. The mercy and the arm of mercy of God is still extended. God says to those of you who've not yet come, come, every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. God is saying, come, all of you who were in taverns, have been in taverns. You didn't grow up in Vacation Bible School. You didn't grow up in Sunday School. You couldn't stand like that little boy stood outside my office door this morning and quote the 23rd Psalm when you were 4 years old or so. You couldn't do that. You were drinking beer when you were 4 years old. You grew up in a hellhole. You grew up in a ghetto. God is saying, come on, I'll give you another chance. Come on, there's room at the cross for you. I remember, and I haven't thought about this fellow for years, but his name was Schultz. I've forgotten his first name. He had a nickname. Schultz lived over here in the 15 Columbia. The mobile home was over there. And I never saw a man as hard about the gospel. I went to try to win him to Christ one night, and he took a bottle of beer and toasted Jesus in my presence. Looked up and said, here, Jesus, this is a toast to you. I want to get out of the place before lightning struck the mobile home. But that old wicked guy got saved. When he was getting baptized, right before baptism, he was sitting up there and began to mumble, waiting for his time to get baptized. He began to mumble. And somebody listened to what he mumbled. And the old ex-drunk and mean as the devil, atheist, he called himself an atheist. He is mumbling, looking at the water. And somebody went and listened to him. He said, Baptistry, you're not so big. I've drunk enough whiskey to fill you several times. But I ain't never had as much fun with all that whiskey as I'm going to have right now. Hey, alcoholic, you didn't make the first load. Second load's leaving. Come, 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 alcoholic, come, prostitute. Come, harlot, come, dope head, come, homosexual. I'm putting you with the sinners now, not the choice of lifestyles. I'm putting you with the sinners now. Come, come, come. There's a second. God said, okay, if you're defiled the first month on the 14th day, He said we'll have another Passover. Why? God said, I want the defiled folks to come too. Come, harlots, there's a second Passover. Come, drunkards. There's a second Passover. Come, lesbians. There's a second Passover. Come, homosexuals. There's a second Passover. Now, I'm not talking about come in drunkards and get saved and still be drunkards. I'm not talking about come queers and get saved and still be queers. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply saying God says it matters not how deep you've gone in sin. There is room at the cross for you. And God will forgive your sins and save your soul and transform your life and regenerate you. Write your name in heaven, make you a child of God. And God, you can sing, roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden of my heart, roll away. I'm talking about a God that can make drunkards pure or sober. I'm talking about a God that can make harlots pure. I'm talking about a God that can make gays straight. I'm talking about a powerful, miracle-working, regenerating God. He says if you didn't make it as a Sunday school child when you're 4 years old, come on, there's still a chance for you. There's room at the cross for you. Come on, Magdalene.
You didn't come when John did, like just when John did, like the normal crowd did when Jesus first started preaching. Come on, Magdalene, come on. There's still the blood of Jesus Christ is valid for you as it was for John. Come on, thief on the cross. You didn't come like Peter did, just leave all and follow Jesus back yonder when he first began his earthly ministry. You didn't do that. You've been a dirty thief. You've been stealing all these years. But come on, thief! There's still room for you at the cross. Come on, woman in the act of adultery. You didn't come like James did when Jesus came walking beside the shores of Galilee and left all and followed Jesus. You didn't do it like that. But come on, woman caught in the act of adultery. While James has been walking with Jesus, you've been living the life of a harlot. Come on! There's room at the cross for you. Let me tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You take a gospel that won't make the harlot pure. You take a gospel that won't make the drunkard sober. You take a gospel that won't make the homosexual straight. You take a gospel that's not a transforming gospel. It's no gospel at all. And what God is telling us here, He's telling us, come on, defiled one. We'll have a second Passover for you. I want you beneath the blood. I want your sins washed away. I want you to have the blood applied for your sins too. I'll give you a second Passover. I'll give you a second chance. Come on, mission men. Come on, mission men. You didn't come like Ed Lipina did. You didn't grow up in First Baptist Church of Hammond. You weren't taught the Bible when you were a child. Your mama didn't teach you the scriptures, and you couldn't quote the 23rd Psalm. You weren't in the nursery over here as a child, and you weren't in the beginner department and primary department like Terry Duff in the choir here was. You weren't like that. You weren't like Ed Lapina that grew up here in the youth department of our church. You didn't go to Hammond Baptist grade school. You didn't go to Hammond Baptist junior high school. You didn't go to Hammond Baptist high school. But bless God, there's a Passover for you too. And there's room at the cross for you. Come on, Vietnamese boat people. You didn't grow up in First Baptist Church like Ray Bordway did. You don't know this church like in the back of your hand. You were out yonder across the ocean being persecuted by the dirty communists and had to run for your life and escape the dirty communism for your life. And you came over and walked on the dead bodies of your loved ones on boats coming across the Pacific Ocean. And you don't have your name chiseled on the sidewalks around here and your name written in the cornerstone. And your daddy is not a deacon and your mama is not a Sunday school teacher. But hallelujah, there's room at the cross for you. That's what God is saying. God is saying, okay, you didn't make the first Passover, we'll have a second. God is simply saying, you were defiled during the first Passover. Bless God, we'll make a second Passover. Come on, City Baptist kids. You didn't grow up in the church like the others did. Your daddy is not on the deacon board. Your mama's not a Sunday school teacher or an officer in the WMS. You don't know who your daddy is, and most of you don't know where your daddy is. God is saying, come on! Same gospel that saved these folks that grew up here, that same gospel will save you. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth shall be saved. I'm simply saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not for only for little children who've been taught the plan of salvation since birth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for those of you who were drinking at the first Passover. And you were cursing the first Passover. Let me tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for the first wave that come as children. He died for the second wave who come as teenagers. But blessed be God and praise His wonderful name. He died for all the people that will ever come neath the blood of Christ. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Come on, Bible Club kids. Come on, public school Bible club kids. You don't get to go to Hammond Baptist High School. You don't have the Bible read every day at the school you attend. You've grown up with cursing and filth and vulgarity. You don't understand all we understand. But thanks be to God, every little public school kid that walks in here with his hair down to a boy with his hair down to his shoulders, little gal with a mini skirt, and a boy with a, maybe like we had this morning, with a shirt, a tank top kind of a shirt. Praise God, the gospel's for you too. God is telling us in His great mercy and love and compassion, God is saying the first of the month and the 14th day, a Passover lamb is offered. God is saying for those of you who were defiled at that time, or those of you who were outside the country at that time, God is saying if you didn't make it for the first Passover, He's saying, come on, we'll have another one. God's mercy, arm of mercy, is extended as far as your sins are. I don't know how far away from God you are, but the arm of Jesus goes just farther. I don't know how deep in sin you are, but the love of Christ goes just deeper. I don't care how vile and wicked you've been, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. God always provides a way back. First sin that was ever committed. As soon as Adam and Eve had sinned, God told them, God made a coat of skins, killed a lamb that pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and gave Adam and Eve a way back to Himself. I love that story about Cain, when Cain had killed Abel, the first murderer in the world. First murderer in the world. You know, when Cain brought the wrong offering to the Lord, God said, a sin croucheth at the door. What He said there is a sin offering croucheth at the door. He said, okay, Cain, you brought your vegetables. You didn't bring a blood sacrifice. You're a liberal. yeah, make light of the blood. I didn't bring a blood sacrifice. But you'll not have your sins forgiven without a blood sacrifice. God said, Cain, I know you got murder in your heart. I know you're wicked. But I don't want you to go to hell. God said to an animal, come over here, lamb. Come over here. Get right down there. Right next to Cain. I want you to get down in a crouching position. When I say jump, I want you to jump up in the arms of Cain. What is God saying? God is saying, Cain, I want you to go to heaven. Not only will I provide the lamb, but I'll have Him jump at you if you will just reach out and accept Him when He comes. What's that saying? That is saying that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crouches tonight and He says, you don't have to do anything but accept Me. And if you'll accept Me, I'll jump at you and save you. I'll jump at you and forgive you. I'll jump at you and I'll cleanse you. Jonah left the plan and will of God. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah again the second time. Said the same thing he did the first time. Peter, who cursed and swore, had a second chance. John Mark, who left the first missionary journey, went back home because he was scared, perhaps. He had a second chance. The Israelites that complained in the wilderness, and God sent fiery serpents, and they were dying of those fiery serpents. He gave them a second chance. He said, Moses, take a piece of brass and beat that piece of brass into the likeness of a serpent. And you raise that brazen serpent high. And you tell all the Israelites who will look at that brazen serpent that they'll be healed. They won't die. They'll be saved from death by looking at the brazen serpent. And John 3:14 says, as the serpent, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a serpent, God's Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, was lifted high on a cross for 2,000 years. Anybody who will look to that cross and say, I'll trust that Savior on that cross and the blood that trickled down from His vein, out of His veins and down His body. Anybody that'll do it is saved. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may you, though vile as he, wash all your sins away. Then, in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing Thy power to save. This poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. All I'm saying is this. If you came as a child of Jesus Christ from the beginner department, hallelujah. But if you didn't, you still can come. If you came as a teenager from the high school youth department. That's wonderful. I'm glad you did. But if you didn't, you still can come. If you came as a young married couple, when you got saved, you had a baby, God gave you a child, and you came as a young married couple to trust Christ, wonderful. But if you didn't, there's still room. You're a tottering old sinner. You've been as mean as the devil himself. You've taken your hands and killed somebody. Or you've drunk so much and you've lived with everybody in the whole neighborhood and you've wallowed in the filth of sin and lasciviousness. Brother, I don't care how deep you are. There's room at the cross for you. That's what God is saying here. God is saying, are you defiled? Come on. Didn't make the first time. Come on. We'll let you have another chance. He's saying, come as you are. Just like you are. Don't clean up to come. Come as you are. He'll do the cleaning up when you get there. He's saying, come from where you are. Doesn't matter how you got there. Somebody pushed you there. Come from where you are. You chose to go there yourself. Come from where you are. Come from the tavern. The Passover lamb was for you too. Come from the house of prostitution. The Passover lamb was for you too. I'll never forget that day. The lady I'm talking about is in this room tonight. I'll never even hint as to who she is. But she's in this room tonight. Don't anybody ask me. I'll never tell. Anybody. A man came to our church on Sunday morning, got saved. The man used to go right over here on State Street in Calumet City to do business with a prostitute. That man, after he got saved, went back to that prostitute place, Red Light District. Walked up to that little place where he used to live in sin with that woman. She said, come on in. He said, wait a minute. Don't do anything yet. I'm not come for the usual reason. I've come to tell you, last Sunday morning at First Baptist Church of Hammond, I got saved. I've come to tell you I want you to be saved. Well, she said, how can I do it? And he said, I don't know enough to tell you. I know I'm saved. I don't know enough to tell you. But Brother Hiles could tell you. That prostitute knocked on my door one afternoon. I walked to the door. She was ever a bit looking like a harlot and a prostitute. Plunging neckline in a short little dress and dressed like prostitute's dress. She said to me, she said, Reverend Hiles, she said, one of my customers came to your church last Sunday morning and said he got saved. She said, I believe he did. Could you tell me how I can get what he got? And there in my study that afternoon, that prostitute was saved. Now for these many years, she's been a faithful member of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, one of the most respected members we have. What am I saying? I'm saying, oh, hallelujah, we have a great God of mercy that won't turn anybody down. That's what I'm saying. I'll never forget it. You know, my mama was a little self-righteous Pharisee. Sorry about that, mama, you know, but and I went over, I wanted to share it with Mama. And it was afternoon. I went over to spend some time with Mama. And I was happy. I walked in and I said, Mama, guess what? She said, what? I said, I just want a prostitute to Jesus Christ. She said, wonderful. But you didn't talk to her, did you? Doesn't matter who you are. How deep you've gone. Defiled you are. That's what Jesus died for, was to cleanse your defilement. What's all about? Over in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you find the same story mentioned. It's about a man who made a great supper. His son was going to get married to a beautiful woman. This king wanted to make for the prince and the new princess a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wedding supper. And so he called his high-class servants to come. Those high-class servants came with their napkins over their arms, trained in every bit of protocol of palatial dining. And the king said, servants, I'm having a formal dinner. Formal. I'm just using big words. A formal dinner. My son, the prince, as you know, is getting married. And I want to have for my son a great dinner. And for my daughter-in-law, the princess, future princess, a beautiful, immaculate, formal dinner.
And these servants, dressed elegantly and properly, bowed graciously and said, "It will be done." He said, "Would you go, please, to the streets and lanes of the city?" What's he talking about? He said, "Would you go and tell Ronald Reagan I want him to come? And then would you go also and tell Frank Sinatra I want him to come? And then would you go tell Liz Taylor I want her to come? And then would you go tell the Rockefeller family I want them to come? And then go tell Chappaquiddick Kennedy I want him to come. And go tell the Hollywood stars I want them to come. And go tell the wealthiest men in the country I want them to come. We're having a banquet for the prince and his future bride, the future princess." And these elegantly attired and properly trained servants went out. Could I have this microphone, please? They went out to tell the news. And they said, as they talked to the servant, "Is the master in?" And the servant had a dumb look on his face. And he called the master to the door. And the servant said, "Master, you master, well, stand up, master." The servant said, "The Royal Highness requests the presence of you and your spouse at the banquet for the prince and the princess." And the big shot, Ted Kennedy here, said, "I'm sorry, but I'm driving a girl on a trip tonight. So I can't come." So he sits down. You didn't know all this in the Bible, did you? So the servant goes and says, "Mr. Dukakis, Mr. Dukakis, His Majesty the King has sent me to your palatial estate to invite you to come to the dinner for the prince and his future wife, the future princess. We'd love to invite you to come." Mr. Dukakis says, "I can't come. I'm sorry. I'm having lunch with Jesse Jackson, and I can't come." And so the servant then moved the microphone off of the cord. And the servant went over and said, "Frank Sinatra, the royal banquet is being prepared. His Highness the Majesty wants you to come. We're going to have be a banquet in honor of the prince and his bride, the future princess. We want you to come." Frank Sinatra said, "I can't come. I've got a crooning schedule. I can't come." He walks over to Mr. Reagan. Says, "Mr. Reagan, the king is giving a banquet." He says, "Nancy won't let me come." I want you to notice something it says here. It says he sent those servants out. But it says that those servants couldn't get anybody to come. So the Bible says he sent other servants. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. Jesus sends a bunch of high class preachers go out. Morning worship service. Preaches. Holy, 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 holy. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Amen. 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 But you know that crowd this morning had services all over Chicago and couldn't get anybody to come. That's where I came in. The king said, how many did you get? The servant said, Frank Sinatra wouldn't come. Well, how many did you get? Well, he said, Nancy wouldn't let Mr. Reagan come. How many did you get? Well, Mr. Kennedy was busy taking the girl on a driving trip. And how many did you get? Well, we didn't get any. But he said, oh my. He said, I've got to have a house full. I'd like to have gotten them using you high-class servants, but you can't get anybody. Bible says he called other servants.
Hey, Biddy! Biddy! Biddy Sunday! You calling for me? Yeah, Dr. McFuddle at seminary couldn't get him to come. God said, Biddy, come on, get him to come. Come on, get him to come. He called other servants. Other servants. Why? The formal dead crowd couldn't get anybody to come. But the old hell-raising barnstorming, Wendy Ratton and Shingo pulling, hellfire and damnation preacher, they got him to come. Said he called other servants. Why? There's room at the cross. Wanted his house full. And once in a while, some little preacher comes to me and said, well, Brother Hines, God's not concerned in numbers. Well, why'd he want his house full at this banquet then? Well, God's not interested in big crowds. Well, he's dead sure not interested in empty pews either. The Bible said they got other servants. I'd be ashamed if I were one of these big reverends in Chicago. Bunch of scroungy 18, 20, 22-year-old kids from Hiles Anderson College can go get folks saved right under the doorstep of their church, and they can't even get enough to have a quorum. Why? Hey, this is the age of other servants. Something else it says here. It says, first he said, go to the lanes and streets of the city. Go to Munster, Sherifville, Merivale, other fields, and tell them to come. Tell the mayor to be here, and the city councilman to be here, and tell the school board to be here, and tell the police chief to be here. But they're all busy. They're on fishing trips. Yeah, they're all busy. So what God, what the servant, what master do? The master wanted his house filled. Why? His son's getting married. The prince is getting married. Why, he said, I'll be the laughing stock of the country. If the television cameras focus on our royal banquet and the place is not filled, I've got to get it filled. So he said, okay, if the folks in the street and the lanes won't come, go to the highways and hedges and tell the whole, the maimed and the blind and the deaf and the poor and the down and out and the harlots and the prostitutes and the drunkards, tell them to come.
Hey, does microphone still work?
Yep. So here they come. Come here, fellas. All you guys gather around me. Do your ties like that. Do your coats like that. Here they come. Fellas, follow me. I understand they're having a shindig down there. They're going to have some good grub there too, fellas. I'll tell you for sure. Yeah. And don't forget now, don't lick your fingers after you sop. Got that? Yes. It's high class. You ready to go? Here we go. We are him. Hey, man. Look at them air plates. And that china's sort of pretty too, ain't it? Look them air glasses. Them ain't no Peter but peanut butter jars. No, sir. Bless God. No, look those glasses. Look that crystal, too. That's something else, ain't it? Look at that silver. That's something. And look at the knives and forks. Well, they match. We ain't never seen none down to the rescue mission match like that, have we? Never have. Well, here he is. And the king says, well, it beats empty chairs. Beats empty chairs. Thank you, fellas. You're just perfect for the job. He sent out the high-class servants. They couldn't get a crowd. He sent other servants. Couldn't get them in the formal worship services to come, so he put them on the street corners preaching. Couldn't get them in the sanctuary to come to Jesus, so they got them in the rescue mission to come to Jesus. Sent out other servants. And then he sent them out to other places. The lanes and the streets of the city, folks would not come, so the highways and hedges people came.
There's a third thing. First time he sent him out to say, come. Come. For all things are now ready. But they wouldn't come. That kind of invitation didn't get a crowd. But if you'll check very carefully, you'll find in that parable in Matthew 22 and Luke 14 that when the first servants couldn't get a crowd, he sent some second-class servants out. And when the folks in the streets and lanes wouldn't come, he asked for the folks in the highways and the hedges and the halt and the maimed and the blind and the poor to come. He wanted a crowd. And then when they didn't come because he said, Your Majesty, request the honor of your presence. He changed it from invite them to come to compel them to come. Yeah. Compel them to come. He said, Man, we have an advantage. Hey, boy, we having a big day. We having a big day. Come on, man. Let's go. Come on here, man. Let's go. Compel them to come in. Come on here, fella. Come on. Go on. You're going to go. Compel him. You're going to go. You understand it? You're going to go. All the rest of you guys, get up here. We're going to go to the banquet. Sit down. We're going to compel him. We're going to go get him. Make him come. We're going to make him come. You can stay home. We haven't got enough food for you. Compel them to come. All these little pussyfooting pipsqueaks around this area criticizing First Baptist Church soul winning program. We'll quit when you can get the banquet full. But you don't even give invitation. Somebody's got to go out and get them to come in. Everybody's watching the football game on Sunday. Somebody's got to go out and get the halt, the maimed, the poor, the blind. One lady said to me not long ago, she said, she was mad. She said, oh, there's nothing goes here but poor white trash. And I said, that's why you're welcome. God said, Moses, let's do it again. Second month, 14th day. Offer a lamb. Mini Passover. So everybody can have a chance. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ tonight, I pray the old church on the corner will always be trying to fill up the banquet hall.